Do you ever feel stuck, like you are living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big Movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Play Big Movement podcast. I'm Sharon Lecter, your host, and I'm excited to introduce you to a new friend. We've gotten to know each other a little bit over the last few months, and I'm just so thrilled to share her and her expertise, because as you know, I'm always looking for those shining stars, rising stars in the younger generation, and Netta certainly is one of those. So please, Netta Nasruddin, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you so much, Sharon. And I'm so impressed by the pronunciation of my name. I do this a lot and I often get like nada, so I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. That's something that I'm also very, my last name is butchered in so many different ways. So I am I'm sensitive to making sure I try and get it as close as possible accurate. So
thank you.
Well, Netta, you have quite an incredible accomplishment. You are the founder and CEO of the Rise Up For You organization and community. And so you're making such a difference in people's lives. You've written a couple of best-selling books and you've been on TED Talks a couple of times. But most importantly, you're touching lives all over the globe. And I'm excited to get to know you and to work with you. You are sponsoring events all the time, including for International Women's Day that I'm thrilled to be participating in. But I think, you know, I always like to start these interviews with starting out with telling us about little Netta. So I'm so glad you're with us. Thank you so much. But let's hear a little bit about little Netta.
Little Netta, that's a great question. So little Netta came from a Middle Eastern family. I'm Lebanese and I have two brothers. I'm the only girl in the family. So little Netta got a lot of sharpshooters and a lot of wrestling moves on her growing up. But little Netta was very blessed. She was born to two amazing parents that didn't always have money, in fact, struggled with money. But they were really, really, really great at teaching my brothers self-confidence, love, values. And so little Netta, believe it or not, is a little quite similar to Netta today, where I always knew what I wanted. I always put my best foot forward. My parents always pushed us. You know, my mom would drive us to school and she would say words of affirmations and we would repeat them back. So little Netta was a happy child that had a lot of love. Even if we didn't have a lot of things, we always had a lot of love and we were taught the best things from our parents.
Well, I love that. And so what drew you to the passion and the mission that you have today?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think I reflect a lot about my past, and I think that there's always been this little spark in me, even when I was in high school, about pushing my potential. And one of the questions that I always asked, even when I was younger, is how come others aren't doing the same thing or struggle with the same thing? Even when I was in high school and my friends got D's and F's and I was getting A's, I always had this sense of like, hey, you can do this too. Let's study together. Let's work together. And, you know, growing up, I realized moving from, you know, the next job to the next job, believe it or not, Sharon, I started as a performer. That's the first career I ever had, was singing and dancing and doing musical theater. And I started to recognize in that performance environment that all of the degrees that I've accumulated and the technique and singing, there was a lot more to that. And I started to develop a passion for really just helping people like push themselves beyond the technical skill. So, you know, there would be performers, their parents were celebrities, and they would be sitting in the back of the risers, even though they were the best singer in the room, because there were other aspects like self-confidence and belief in themselves that they were missing. And I grew a real passion for helping people like push through that potential. And, you know, after performing, I became an executive of an education corporation. I really learned through performing that what I was passionate about was evoking movement. And at the time, I was just using my voice, but I realized I really liked pushing people's potential and evoking movement in their life in an emotional and educational way. And so this is where
I love that term, by the way, evoking movement. Yeah. I love that. That's great.
Thank you. And that's where I started to realize that, you know, a lot of us, Sharon, and I know you see this as well. We work really, really hard in trying to build success, getting our degrees, certifications, building technical skills, but we're missing the things that really, really push our potential. And that's, you know, the soft skills and the work that we do today. And that's kind of where the passion came from, is I saw a lot of people struggling and suffering despite all the knowledge that they had. And I developed this curiosity of why. Why is that happening and how do we solve it?
Well, I think, and of course, the most successful businesses solve a problem or serve a need, and you're on that mission.
Thank you. Thank you.
I often share that I was raised by parents who asked me each night, have you added value to someone's life? I think that could also go for you because it sounds like you're dedicated to helping people step into their power, Rise Up for you. So tell us a little bit more about what Rise Up for You as an organization is like today.
Thank you. Yeah. So, you know, through my experience, as I mentioned, I realized that a lot of people were leaving money, happiness, fulfillment on the table, despite the fact that they had all the degrees they needed. I mean, I was working with professionals that had 3 PhDs, right? Master's degrees, everything you needed. But yet they still struggled with being seen, being heard, and being relevant. They struggled with influential communication. They struggled with making an impact, not only professionally, but also personally. Because I always say the person is the professional and the professional is the person. And so today, Rise Up for You, you know, noticing the gap that I saw as an executive and educator, we work with organizations, leaders, and entrepreneurs all over the world, helping them become the top 10% in their industry and in their life through teaching the skills that make up 80% of our success that we often don't spend enough time on. And that's the self-confidence, the emotional intelligence, being a transformational leader versus a transactional leader, and learning how to communicate with influence.
Yeah, I love that. The personal success equation that I share always is the passion and talent, having the right associations, right people on your team, and taking action, which you talk about, evoke movement, taking action, but all of it's wrapped in faith. Faith, confidence in yourself, faith in what you're doing, faith that is needed and necessary, faith that you will succeed.
Yes.
And invariably it's that they have the wrong associations, but they don't have enough confidence in themselves. So I applaud what you're doing because it's really needed. And I think it's even, you know, more needed with women because they tend to hold themselves back and stay in the shadows.
Yes.
I think it's really wonderful that you're pushing this movement and helping people see the light and stand in their own power. So.
Thank you. Yeah. And I definitely echo the women's side of things as well, because, you know, we've all heard the statistic, I'm sure, that a man will apply for a job when they have 60% of the knowledge and a woman will apply when they have 100%. And I really think it's because of the history that we've had, right? Where there was a time historically where women couldn't vote. We didn't have certain privileges and certain rights. And I think, unfortunately, that mindset has carried on even into modern day society. And so there's still a lot of women that unfortunately struggle with that scarcity mindset. They think that there's only one seat at the table or that there's not enough room for them. And so a lot of times that perfectionist mindset, that self-doubt, that not feeling enough, that I can only be the only woman in the room that's a leader creeps in, and it hinders our ability to take action and move forward.
Well, tell us how our community, the folks watching and listening to this, can learn more from you.
Yeah, so you are more than welcome to go to riseupforyou.com. And it's the same handle on social media. We're all over social media, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn. And if you head to riseupforyou.com and you click the little free button at the top, we have free confidence quizzes, free emotional intelligence quizzes, things that you can use right now to kind of assess where you are in life so that you can take action moving forward. And then you can also find me at Nettalina Nasruddin. I run my own social media. So if you send me a message on LinkedIn or Instagram, I will message you back.
I love it. I love it. So what's in the works for you right now? What will we see in the next year?
So we have a lot of amazing things. As you mentioned earlier, every year we do an annual women's conference. So we're super excited about International Women's Day and just elevating women to step into their power, into their leadership. But one of the biggest things that we have that we're actually bringing back is our Rise Up For You conference at the end of the year. We have an amazing community, an amazing membership platform. But I think over time during COVID, some of that in-person stuff kind of drifted away and individuals spent a lot of time online. There's a lot of online memberships. Well, we decided to add that more interactive experiential component to the membership. So we're bringing the conference back in December in Las Vegas. So it'll be live in person and we're excited for that. And we're also just excited to really continue to push our message about the four pillars, the confidence, the EQ, the leadership, and that communication. Because, you know, what we do know is that everybody wants to be seen, everybody wants to be valued, and they want to build a life where they feel fulfilled and they're making an impact. But we're not talking enough about the skills that are actually going to do that. And so that's really our main mission.
So tell me, when you have someone coming to you and you have them take the assessments, but what's your first challenge to them as far as them finding that, finding their voice?
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. When we're working with leaders individually, oftentimes they come to us because of a problem that's happened, but they don't recognize like what the core is of the situation. So most people understand the behaviors, but they don't understand the beliefs that drive the behaviors. And so the first thing that we do, for example, with a leader or an entrepreneur or professional that comes to work with us is we just assess them first. Because if you don't know what to change, it's hard to change. And Sharon, I don't know if you've heard this, but 95% of individuals think they're self-aware and only 10% are. So oftentimes when an individual comes to us, they think they're coming to us for this one thing and then they recognize, oh no, it's completely different. And so the first thing we do is assess them. We assess them on their self-confidence. We assess them on their emotional and social intelligence. And then we take that same assessment, Sharon, and we have them give it to 7 to 10 people to take the same assessment on them so that they can really see, where do I need change? So for example, we have a lot of leaders that will give themselves 9s and 10s. Hey, I'm a 9 leader. I'm a 9 when it comes to empathy. I'm a 10 when it comes to active listening. And their perception is that, and then their scores come back for their team and they have a lot of 5s and 6s. So once we can identify really where there's a gap, then we can start to work with the individual to close that gap so that they can be a better performer. They can really increase their productivity and their potential as a whole person.
So when you take those self-assessments online, do you get your results immediately?
You do. So when you take the assessment online, you get the self portion immediately. And then when you push it out to your 7 to 10 people, we try to get that back within 5 days.
That's great. I love that.
Thank you.
I love it when you can formalize an assessment like that.
Yeah.
I think it's really true. I remember I had a president that I had to do a review for, and it was going to be a tough review because he was just not a people person. So I had him prepare when he came in to meet with me. I said, I want you to tell me your 3 strong points and your 3 weak points, and as part of the review process. And he came in and his number one strength was dealing with people. And I'm going, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I've been there, Sharon. And you know, everything that we do today with the company, we also do for ourselves. So when I was 27, I was an executive for 200 people. This is before I built the company. And I remember I thought I was the most amazing leader ever. I thought I was new and hip and I was, you know, was the youngest one, but nobody came into my office. Nobody would come and talk to me. I didn't have any opportunities to coach and mentor because no one walked through my door despite having an open door policy. So I decided at 27 to do an anonymous survey with all 200 people. I was the only executive that dared to do it. All the other executives were like, no way. And when I did that anonymous survey, 75% out of the 200 people said I was intimidating, not relatable, and I looked mad all the time. And I was crushed. I mean, I went home, I cried to my mom, I couldn't believe it, but it was the best thing I ever did because it gave me the data to make a change, to make shift, you know, going back to evoking movement. Because now I can see clearly that, oh, the way that I see myself something's disconnected. My team is not seeing me the same way. Now I have the data to actually create a different persona or different energy so that my team can connect with me.
Yeah, it's a great reflection. I've had over the last 10 years, I would have people come up and say, you know, I really wanted to come say hi, but I'm so intimidated by you. And I'm going, what? Me?
Yeah.
Me? It's just, you know, people call me Mama Sharon. What's intimidating about me?
Yeah.
But over and over, I would have that kind of response. So it's like, what do I need to do to change that? So
yeah, absolutely.
I certainly understand what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
And so when somebody realizes, let's say that exactly, that example, and you get this feedback, how do you start the reflection that creates positive change?
Yeah. So once we start to get the feedback, now we can implore a whole body of strategies, because at the end of the day, you know, what we're teaching, the soft skills, it has strategies and it has like experiential scenarios that we can use just like the hard skills. But one of the reasons why, you know, self-confidence, emotional intelligence, influential communication, it gets a bad rap is because they think that it's just concepts, right? Like be a better human, build your self-confidence. And we actually try to avoid just concepts. We need to make sure we can give a strategy so that you can actually exercise the muscle. So depending on what needs to be changed, we'll implore strategies specifically around that competency. So what you see behind me, Sharon, is the emotional intelligence book. There's about 350 pages in there. And 320 of them are just strategy, depending on the different competency. So for example, when it comes to, let's say, being intimidating, right off the bat, we'll say, okay, well, let's reflect. What are some things that you feel that you're doing that could potentially come across that way? What color clothing do you wear? When you walk down the hall, are you on your phone? You know, when you start a meeting, what is the first thing that you start with? And we start to reflect upon the behaviors so that we can shift them to create a different outcome. And that's just one very small example.
I love that. I think that's great. And I think it's really so important. I mean, we say it differently, but I always talk about when trying to get people to understand money better, it starts with your mindset, those core beliefs.
Yes.
What, you know, how did you grow up? Most of us grew up with a scarcity mindset.
Yes.
And unless you start working on the mindset, even if you have money, you're going to lose it because you,
right,
you have to adjust the mindset. So I
absolutely
think it's great. And I didn't share this in the intro, but you've worked with Fortune 5 companies all the way down to entrepreneurs. So you have the
yes
experience at each level, correct?
We do, yes. We work with everything from Fortune 5 companies, like you mentioned, big tech, pharmaceutical, all the way down to the individual. And I have to say, though, I'm very fortunate, Sharon, because I don't do it by myself. I have an amazing team. There's about 16 of us right now. And, you know, we're all, every single day, we are in the trenches with leaders every day. There's not one day that goes by that we're not coaching, training, speaking to, you know, whether it's an audience or a company that we walk into. And so a lot of the research and a lot of the experiences that we talk about, we are seeing every single day. And, you know, I always say you can have two people in front of you with the same exact degree, the same certification, the same, you know, resume, but who's going to go further, faster, and why? And most people aren't talking about that why. Like, why are they moving further, faster? And I think that, you know, you nailed it when it comes to the belief system around money. Is most people have a lot of limiting beliefs, and there's a narrative and there's a concept in their mind that they don't always recognize is there, that's hindering their ability to actually move forward and build success. And when I talk about success, Sharon, I don't just mean professionally, because we know that that's not full sustainable success. I mean, building success professionally, financially, when it comes to your health, when it comes to relationships, and most importantly, when it comes to yourself.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I love it. And that's, you know, every course I develop, every talk I give, I deal as much time or more on mindset than actual money steps, because
yes,
unless you change the base core belief mindset, you're going to always fall back into the same rut. So it's very important to focus
absolutely
on those inner core beliefs and to be honest with yourself. A lot of people aren't honest with themselves, and they try to
yeah
gloss over something that's really hindering them from achieving the success they deserve. So
yeah. Well, they're scared, right? They're scared to go deep, because sometimes when we go too deep, we don't know how to get out of it. And that's why I think it's so important to have mentors and to have coaches that can help you develop and really recognize, you know, what's going on. And I always tell people, and I use this same for myself, is never take advice from somebody that you don't admire. And if you look at the people that you really admire, that I would say have a whole life of success, they're all kind of doing the same things. They surround themselves around the same people. They cultivate a positive mindset. They work on the skills that we're talking about, Sharon, you know, the self-confidence, that communication, and they're also producing and performing in their career. But as a whole person, they're doing the right things. And typically the most successful people are all doing the same things.
That's so true. So true. So again, you said go to the website, riseupforyou.com, correct?
Yep, absolutely.
To get the assessments and to reach out to Netta, because you're going to see more of her along the way. I'm just so thrilled to see her and the impact that she's making. Netta, you're going to hang out with me for a few minutes, and we're going to do another shorter interview, going a little bit more personal, that goes into the private Facebook group.
I love
it. Big movement. So if all of you watching and listening are not members of the Facebook group, please go join so you can hear the rest of Netta's story. So thank you all. Thank you, Netta, for being with me. I appreciate you sharing your brilliance.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody.
And for all of you watching and listening, thank you so much for being here with us for this episode of the Play Big Movement. Until next time, you are fabulous. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.